Well, good evening, everybody. Like I said, we're going to John the fourth chapter, and this is the third week of our series called The Musts. And tonight we're gonna wrap the whole thing up. Now in the past couple weeks we've been talking about these three things: the cans, the shoulds, and the musts. Focusing on the musts, because it's funny, because your whole life is about you making decisions. You make decisions every day. You know, whether what kind of deodorant you're gonna wear, whether your hair is gonna be up or down, whether you're going to wear these shoes or those shoes, socks or no socks, whether it's going to be, you know, whether it's going to be, you know, supersize those fries or keep them normal. You know, we make these decisions all day, and some decisions bear a little more weight than others. You know, I mean, the color lipstick you wear, probably not that important. You know what I'm saying? But some things in our lives can literally change or better or end our lives depending on what we do. And then there's a different priority level to the decisions that we make. You know, that's where we kind of been talking about. There's the cans, the shoulds, and the musts. I mean, you can do a lot of things. I mean, you can do anything you really want. You could really do whatever you want. I mean, nobody can really stop you. You can do. I mean, people do crazy things all the time. I mean, whether it's jumping out of airplanes, whether it's joining the military, whether it's wearing, you know, clothes that don't even match, look like you came out of the wrong era. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people do. I mean, you can sing Justin Bieber songs all day. You can. baby. I mean, you can do it. You can do your hair like him. I mean, even if you're a girl, you can do your hair like him. It don't even matter, you know. And you can do it. You can do that. Now, doesn't necessarily mean you should do that. Amen. I'm just saying, you know. I mean, but you can. You can do any. You could do anything. And but see, there's a lot of things you should do. Like you should do your homework. I've been saying that one for weeks. I don't know. I hope somebody here catches on. You should do your homework. You should. I mean, if you drive in this room, if you drive, you should pay attention to traffic lights. Now, depending on your goals in life, kind of determine the shoulds and the musts. If you plan on living past the age of 18, then you must obey traffic lights. You know what I'm saying? But if you don't really care, then it's probably something you should do. You know, I mean, if you want to keep your girlfriend, then you must remember her birthday. If it's not really that big of a deal and you don't even think she's that nice anyway, then it falls lower on the priority scale. But there's shoulds and there's shoulds and there's musts. You know what I'm saying? So you need to figure out which of those fall into your life. And depending on what you make, the shoulds and the musts and the cans, depending on how you figure that out in your life, depends on what you're going to get and what you're going to miss in life. See, now Jesus rolls along. If you read the Bible, you look in the Gospels, then Jesus comes along and he says that there's certain musts that you need to have in your life. I mean, if you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to be blessed, if you want to know who God is and you want God to know who you are, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to follow Jesus Christ, then Jesus lays out a few musts. Now, there's several of them in the Bible. I mean, you can find them all, and they're all really good, and they're all things we need to do, but, you know, we only got 3 weeks on this thing. So we found three musts, Jesus says, that you must do, and if you don't do them, you will not be a Christian for very long. If you don't do them, you will not make an impact in your world. If you ignore these musts, your relationship with God, no matter how on fire, no matter how much of the Bible you know, no matter how much you come to church, no matter how amazing your grandmama is at preaching the word at you, but if you do not do these musts, Jesus says, you will not be a Christian for long. Your relationship with God will dry up and shrivel up like a little raisin. That's the way it goes. Now, in John 4, Jesus is talking to this lady. And I know we talked about this story before, but this woman, she kind of got around, if you know what I'm saying. And she was here at the well, and she was, you know, just, I don't know this story. Keep on coming back to this story. In John the fourth chapter, this lady is here later on in the day, which was an unusual time for her to be drawn water. She's here at this well getting water for herself and maybe some of the people in her community and things like that. So she's here at the well getting water, and Jesus walks up alone. And the disciples are out looking for food. They're kind of taking care of some business and they're running errands. And Jesus walks up to this well, and he's here with this lady alone. And he says, "Hey, how you doing?" "Oh, hi, how you doing?" And they begin to talk a little bit. And Jesus says, "Hey, you know, we're here at this well. I can offer you water that will never run dry." And she's like, "What are you talking about? That's kind of weird." And she's like, "Well, you know, I'm the living water." And Jesus is kind of like opening up and talking to her and saying, "Hey, you know, everything you're looking for in life can be found inside of me." And Jesus is saying that I'm the way, the truth, the life. I mean, all these different things. Jesus is speaking life to her and preaching salvation to her, even though she's of a different ethnicity. Back then, you know, things were pretty segregated between certain peoples. And the Jews and the Samaritans were very segregated. They didn't hang out together. They didn't date each other. You know, they didn't really talk to each other. The Samaritans hated the Jews. The Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans thought they were right and the Jews were wrong. And the Jews thought the Samaritans were wrong and that they were right. I mean, it was just, they were just polar opposites, okay? Just, I mean, they just drew the line, okay? That's my hood. That's your hood. And we don't intermingle. So here's Jesus, a Jewish guy, talking to this Samaritan woman and breaking all the rules. So Jesus is talking to her, and all of a sudden he begins to kind of just lay things out as far as the truth, because she was, like I said, a woman of certain reputation, and he kind of blows her up on it. He says, hey, this is what the truth is, and you know, you need to kind of get some things straight. And she says, the woman said, well, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. How very nice of her. I think we would probably have different words if Jesus said that you a hoe. Then we probably would, you know, she's just kind of like, okay. She said, well, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And she says, well, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem, that's the place where we're supposed to worship. So all of a sudden, she brings up worship, and she's kind of like saying, she's kind of like, okay, you caught me red-handed. You know what my business is. So she tries to change the subject real quick. She says, oh, well, you must be a prophet. Well, let's talk theology. Let's talk worship instead of my habits with the opposite sex. So she tries to change the subject to try to throw him off, to try to do this, and Jesus brings all back around to a relationship with God. And Jesus says, well, look, woman, which is actually a term of respect. She says, look, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You see, you worship what you do not know. He calls her out and says, look, it's not about your habits with these guys. He says, you're doing this because you don't really know who God is. It's a deeper issue than just your habits with these dudes. He says, but you're trying to worship what you don't know. See, we know that as the Jews, we know who we worship because salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him because God is spirit and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. See, this lady says, look, you don't know who you're worshiping. You think you got it together, but you don't. And if you want to get it together, you have to. You must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus calls her out and says, if you want to get this thing straight, you must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus lays it out. Now you, if you want to get your life straight, if you want to get your relationship with God straight, if you want to go somewhere in this thing called Christianity, if you want to survive this world, as odd as it sounds, you must worship in spirit and truth. It's a non-negotiable. You can't get around it. You must do it. And see, the issue is this, is that it's deeper than just music or songs or anything. Because see, this lady was stuck on this thing where she thought, well, you know what, I can live my life my way because, you know what, my people say that we have to worship on this mountain and you guys say we have to worship over in this place. And Jesus says, you got the whole thing mixed up. It's not about where, if you're in this building or this denomination or if you wear this kind of clothes or that kind of clothes. It doesn't matter if your hair is this color or if your hair is this color or if your skin is this color. He said, Jesus, look, you're missing the whole point. It's not, these aren't the musts. These things don't really matter. This is what matters. Is that you must worship in spirit and truth. And as we've been saying, if this was like one of the great commandments, it would be God says that thou mustest worshipeth right ifith. See, and he says of the must, he says that we must worship, you have to do it a certain way. Worship has to be always in spirit, and worship always has to be in truth. See, this woman thought worship was about where you stand. This woman thought that worship was about a physical place. Like, well, I can only worship God, or I can only experience or touch or talk to God if I'm in this holy place. You know, God belongs on this mountain, and if I'm not on this mountain, then God must not be around there, or God can't hear me. She was stuck on the physical thing. And see, your relationship with God is not very physical, which is weird because that's what you know. Like, everything you know is physical. I mean, your boyfriend might be physical. Your mom's physical. You know, I mean, you know, the Cheetos that you eat after school, they're physical. The seats you're sitting in are cushy and physical. If you sit on some of these seats wrong, you hit a nail, and that's physical. You know, I mean, and if you've been sitting on these seats for a while, you know what I'm saying. But, you know, I mean, everything we're used to is physical. But Jesus says it's not physical, and it's not emotional. Because God is spirit. And if you want to worship God, if you want to connect with God, if you want to go somewhere with God, you have to go past the physical, you have to go past the emotional, and you have to hit the spiritual in your life. and we're not very connected with our spiritual. See, Jesus says it's not about the mountain. No matter if you're a Samaritan, and it don't matter if I'm a Jew, what matters is that your spirit be connected with God, and your worship has to be in spirit. See, we think we hear worship and we think, oh, it's a song, or we think worship is a tempo, or praise is a fast song, dun-cha, 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 dun-cha. And worship, dun-da-da, da-da, dun-da-da, da-da, whoa, whoa, Lord God Almighty. You know, worship is not a slow song, and praise is not a fast song. See, worshiping God is not about a tempo or a style, if it's gospel or if it's rock or if it's this or that. Look, that is not worship. Nothing to do with it. That's all physical. And that's a way to worship. But that is not what worship is. See, Jesus said, you're missing it, lady. It's not the song, and it's not the mountain, and it's not what you look like. It's spirit. It's two hearts connecting. It's a spiritual connection. So if you want to connect with God, you have to do that. See, worship, the word worship means submitting. The word worship means you bowing your knee to someone or something. That's what it means to worship, is you bowing your knee. And it's funny because people don't usually bow their knees now in these days. And you just don't do it. I mean, it's like a sign of weakness for someone to bow their knees at somebody. It's a sign of weakness. But that's what worship is about. Worship is all about you bowing yourself to God. That's what worship is. Nothing like music. It's about you bowing yourself to God and saying, look, God, I don't know what I'm doing, but you do. God, I'm not in charge of this thing. You are. God, you know it, and I don't. And that's what worship is. Worship is bowing your knee to God. It's submitting and saying, God, this whole thing called life is out of my hands because I can't handle it, but I'm going to put it in your hands. I'm going to trust you. That's what it means to submit, right? Is you take a back seat, and God takes a front seat. That's worship. See, it's a spiritual thing. It doesn't just happen up here or in this building. Wherever you're at, whenever you bow your heart to God, you're worshiping. Whenever you do God's will instead of your will, you're worshiping. Doesn't matter where. Doesn't matter what it sounds like. What matters is the matter of that heart. And then Jesus says this. He says, you must worship in spirit and truth. And see, truth means this. Truth means that there's a right and a wrong way. It's kind of interesting. There it goes. Other side. That's that cough drop. All right. You know, it says the truth. In spirit and truth, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. The question is, are you doing the right way or the wrong way? You know, worship is kind of funny because worship means this. Worship means that if you're bowing yourself to someone or something else, that means it's not about you, it's about the person you're worshiping. I mean, it's kind of like, okay, I love my wife. I do. I really love my wife, and I think she's pretty fantastic. And her birthday is in May, May 21st, right? Like I said, you got to remember your lady's birthday, all right? And for her birthday, I will not ever buy my wife a refrigerator for her birthday. I know a man who bought his wife 1 year a $1,000 refrigerator. Now, I don't care how much you spend on that refrigerator, she is not going to appreciate it, okay? Because your lady does not want a refrigerator for her birthday. Does not, okay? Does not. You buy a refrigerator on an off day, okay? See, you don't do that. On an anniversary, you are not going to, I am not going to buy my wife new gears for my bike, okay? I am not. In order to appreciate my lady, my woman, my boo, my wife, for me to do that, I'm going to get her what she wants. Maybe like some cooking stuff because she loves to cook, some baking stuff because she loves to bake. I might buy her a nice clothes, some new shoes. I might buy her like a gift certificate for like a back massage at a little spa or something. I'm going to buy her something she wants because that's stuff she likes. But I am not going to buy her an iPad because she don't want an iPad. I want an iPad. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to come to her on her terms. Same thing with God. You're going to worship God, you come to God on his terms, not on your terms. You know, God does not want what you want. We need to begin to worship God the way he wants to be worshipped, not the way we want to worship him. See, that's how it all works. And that's what it means in truth. In truth is we do things God's way, the way you live your life, the way you react to him, the way you treat him, the way you speak to him, the way you approach God. You come to God in spirit, connecting with your heart, and in truth, the way he asks us to, the way we want to. So what's it about then? Worship has to be, must be, about two things. Worship, you have to realize that worship is not about me. Worship can't be about me, and worship's got to be about the heart. It's got to be, because it's really easy for us to get selfish, and it's really easy for us to make worship about us. I mean, how many times have we said this? This isn't wrong, but if you've been a Christian for a long time, you've gone to camp, done all these things, this is what I hear people say, and this is what I've said before. You say, man, that set of worship is just what I needed. I feel so much better after that song. We've said, man, that song, I love that song. I was so happy when Erica, she hit that note and it wasn't flat, nothing like that. We say, man, I can't wait for worship because I feel so good after worship. And see, it's really easy for us to make worship about us. Man, I love this song. Man, I really needed that. See, worship's not about what you need. Worship will never be about what I want. And worship will never be about what I need. It won't. Because as soon as worship's about what I want, I'm not worshiping God. I'm worshiping myself. I'm worshiping my needs. As soon as worship becomes about this, about the way I feel about this song, as soon as worship becomes about whether or not somebody was bugging me, as soon as worship becomes about whether or not the people around me are talking about somebody else or if they're worshiping about God, worshiping God, see, it's not about what other people are. As soon as worship becomes about my needs, I am no longer worshiping God. As an amateur move. For you to get deeper in the things of God, worship has to become less about you and more about the one you're worshiping. I mean, what did John the Baptist say? He said, gosh, Jesus, let me decrease and let you increase. And that's exactly what worship is. Worship is your opportunity for you to decrease in your life. And worship is your opportunity to make God bigger in your life. And see, that's why we feel good after worship. There's nothing wrong with feeling good after worship. You don't feel like poo. But when you have a good session of worship, a good time of worship and praising God, it's because you sincerely and genuinely put yourself down and you put God bigger in your life. And that's when worship connects with God. And that's when you feel good after worship, is because you're putting yourself in the right place, in second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth place, and you're putting God number one in first place. See, that's when worship is not about you, and it's not about the songs we're playing. But it's got to be more about Jesus. Don't make worship about me. Don't make worship about me. I remember years ago, I was on a mission trip in L.A., and it was down in this church in L.A., and they had this huge, like drug program where they take these guys out of prison, they take them off the streets, they get them clean, and they would house them and stuff like that, and they were in this huge discipleship program, and half of the guys didn't want to be there because they were just mad about being there and stuff like that. They were coming down off of stuff like that, and they were off the streets. And the other half of the guys loved it. They were on it because it had changed their lives. And I remember sitting there. What they had is they had a chapel service one day. Me and the other teenagers and stuff like that were in there. And in L.A., I remember it was this long, huge, old building, huge walls, high ceiling, and it was really echoey. So it was like singing in a bathroom. It made everybody's voice sound really good. And I remember their praise and worship set had no music. Oh, excuse me. It had no instruments. It had no instruments. There was no amplification. There was no band leading it. What it was one guy up at the front yelling at you. And he's like, "All right, everybody, we're gonna worship God tonight." And all these big dudes stand up. And they had tattoos. All messed up looking and missing teeth. Dudes got, they got those guys that got look like they got a pack of hot dogs in the back of their neck. You know what I'm saying? Big dudes, okay? And they start singing, "All of my life, God's been good to me. Oh, all of my life, God's been good to me. Oh, all of my life." 20 minutes of that song. Just those words. Oh! Echoey, just like that. And that's what they sang. That was their worship. Big dudes crying. Punks in the back. Skins up. Because they didn't really want to be in that. But all these guys, big ex-con guys, drugged out. See the holes in their arms. Singing out to God, no worship, No worship music. And that was their worship. From the heart. They did nothing else. Except saying, all my life, God's been good to me. I'm going to make it known. So it wasn't about them. It wasn't about their feelings. Just that guy in the front yelling at them, come on, let's sing out. Come on. And that's what it was. It wasn't about me. It was about you. Hebrews 13:5, put it up on there. You guys got your Bibles. You want to circle this one. Give it to me right here. Hebrews 13:5. Bam. And therefore, by him, let us continually offer what a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The word sacrifice. See, sacrifice is not really pleasant, because if you're sacrificing, that means you are giving something up that's expensive to you. That's what makes it a sacrifice. You give something up. Praise and worship is a sacrifice. It's not a feel-good, tingly, you know, moment per se, because it is. But real worship, true, heartfelt, mature, honest to God, life-changing, earth-shattering, school-moving, you know, prayer-answering, heart-rending, all of the real one is when you take a sacrifice, when you don't want to worship God and you do it anyway, it's a sacrifice. When you hate that song and they're hitting all the wrong notes because you know what happens sometimes and you still sing and you don't get distracted. Sacrifice. When you do it, when it's the last thing you want to do, you're praising God because it's a sacrifice. You're giving something that costs you something and it touches the throne of God. And it moves him. Psalm 22:3 says, God inhabits, he is enthroned in the praises of his people. So all of a sudden, it takes God from heaven right there to your face when you begin to worship. Because what did Jesus say in John 4? He said, God is searching, seeking, earnestly looking. God is moving heaven, hell, and earth. He's looking under every rock. He's seeking for true worshipers who he can find. So if God's far away from you and you begin to worship God, he'll find you like that because God's already seeking for somebody to worship. He's on the move looking and waiting for someone to truly worship him in spirit and truth. And that's one of the quickest ways you can get access to God is when you make worship about him and when it's about your heart. Psalm 9:1, put it up there, says, praise God with your whole heart. Bam! Heart. Okay, Psalm 104 says this. I'm going to shut this bad boy down because I'm done. I didn't even cough once. That's pretty good. Psalm 100. I don't think I did. It's just this darn thing is getting stuck to my lip. Okay, Psalm 100, verse 4. Yeah, there it is. There's a good one. Psalm 100, verse 4. Bam! 100, verse 4 right here. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name. Praise and worship. Worship. That is God, the must kind of worship that we need to do is about your heart and where your heart is. It's not about the position of where you are in the world. It's your position of where your heart is and where your heart stands in the things of God. And if you enter his court, if the way you come close to God, the way you enter God's house is with thanksgiving and an attitude of the heart that says, I'm not here for me, I'm here for you. It's an attitude of the heart that says, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. See, worship comes from us. So what are you giving God? What are you giving? See, the altar, the altar, the front of the stage, it's what's called an altar. An altar is always for giving something, not for getting something, for giving. So whenever we play music or whenever we have ministry or whatever happens, when you come to this place, you're coming and saying, God, I have something to give. Here's my attitude. Here's my problems. Here's my issues, God. God, here's my thanks. Here's my honor. That's what happens when you come here. You come to give. And when you give, you always leave getting something. But if you come to get, you leave empty-handed. Say, God wasn't there. But when you come to give, you always take back more than what you put down. And it's always better than what you put down. See, it's about your heart. It says, enter the courts with thanksgiving. Enter the courts with praise. And when you do that, you have an open access to who Jesus is. Especially if you don't want to, especially if it's a hard, tough day, especially if you're angry at your parents, especially if you had a bad week, if you come in with thanksgiving praise, then the sacrifice is that much greater, and you have that much more to give to God and trust and submit to him. It's good. It's good. And if you don't do that, your relationship with God is going to fizzle out. It'll be lame. It'll be boring. And your prayers will feel like they're hitting the ceiling and falling right back onto your bed. That's what does that feel like? But when you get into that praise, that's like the spirit, in the spirit, in the truth, then all of a sudden God inhabits your life, enthrones himself, makes himself king of your life. Psalm 22:3 says, what you got to do? Come to God on his terms. Because worship's not about you. It's about your heart connecting with his. So if you guys need that God tonight, let's give him praise. Come on. Come on!